When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. It is pouring out there. Be careful if you're driving, because everybody, when they're driving, when there's rain, there's an accident every single time when I drive in when there's rain. So it's going to be a lot of Karen Stewart today, I'm sure, letting you know about all the places that someone crashed into one another because they are reckless. What a big day of football. It wasn't happening around these parts. Of course, you had another Giants loss. We knew they were going to get killed by the Ravens. They did. The Jets end up winning a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their defense is still an atrocity, but their offense looked the best it has looked since Aaron Rodgers got here. So if that's a positive for you, then good for you. And this Bill Belichick story comes out that I can't believe. There's got to be more to the story than him just reaching out to the Jets to gauge their interest, because it doesn't make any sense. And the Detroit Lions, everybody's favorite team in the NFL, everybody's darling, everybody loves Dan Campbell. You know, Dan Campbell, he's like the Christmas coach. Everybody loves themselves a Dan Campbell. Oh, well, they got smacked around in their own building, couldn't stop anybody, and then made that game closer than it should have been. So it was nice to see that, as Josh Allen cemented to me his MVP status as he threw to everybody in the world. Didn't even need to use Amari Cooper. He's throwing a Ty Johnson. He's throwing a running back. He's just the man. He's the absolute man, and he put that on display yesterday. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Former Jet Ty Johnson, then.
Yeah, that's right.
I will say that, you know, in regards to all this stuff that's flying around the Giants right now, let's start there. You know, I don't know what fans expected. I mean, like, you have Tim Boyle, Tommy DeVito playing quarterback for you. Tommy DeVito can't stay on the field. I mean, backup quarterbacks don't know how to protect themselves. You know, then you have Tim Boyle, which the Jet fan felt last year. They had a little Tim Boyle experience. I don't want to, you know, kill these guys. I mean, they are who they are. They made it to the NFL, and they deserve a lot of credit for that, to be able to tell their grandkids that they did play in the NFL. And that's a big thing. But at the end of the day, for the New York Giants, like, what did you expect? They were 16.5-point underdogs for a reason going into this game. And the way people are reacting to it is just mind-boggling to me. It's like, yeah, it's obvious. They're missing half their roster. The players on the field want to win. I think the coach is trying to win, but it's everybody's best interest not to win.
Yeah,
and you have to be realistic about that. I mean, I said the same thing about the Patriots this morning. Like, you can't be upset with where we are in the season, what your team is doing, what it looks like, what the roster looks like. Now, if you want to, and I've said this, nothing is etched in stone. No matter what John Mara said about 8 or 9 weeks ago about Shane and Dable staying here, I was telling you that it's going to depend on what it looks like going out the door first. And here we are right in the middle of that. And yesterday was as ugly as it gets, but there have been uglier games that the Giants have played this year, believe it or not, because I expected it to look exactly like that.
Yeah, I think that most people did. I didn't. I know you got a lot of Giant fans, irrational Giant fans in your life, and maybe that's where you're getting some of that. I didn't even really focus too much on the Giants fan reaction because, for me, I mean, this was a foregone conclusion, and especially when you find out that they got to go to Tim Boyle. It didn't even play all that poorly. I thought you were going to see a pick six and seven sacks once he came in, but he was okay. I mean, moved the ball a little bit, but, I mean, they're going to get killed. We knew they were going to get killed, and it really just comes down to the end of the season with them and where they end up drafting. And you see Malik Nabers and Shedeur Sanders throwing a football together in New York City. Maybe that gets you excited. The talk of Cam Ward, if they don't get Shedeur Sanders, could get you excited. I mean, that's where it's at right now. And I heard Tiki say it on the broadcast as he was doing the game yesterday for CBS. And he said that even though he still believes that it's going to be Shane and Dable that shepherd this franchise into the future, it just looks horrific on game day. But, I mean, when you have to go to these guys, as you said before, it wasn't going to end well. You know, you're going to get crushed as one of the better teams in the NFL.
This is usually
coming off a bye, no less.
Remember, this is where Joe Judge talked himself right off the ledge. And how Brian Daboll handles this publicly and how he tries to keep the team together. You know, his words, a lot of that, you know, goes into a coach, an owner's decision as to whether or not you keep a certain coach. I mean, you know, he's been masterful, I think, when it comes to the press conferences, hasn't really said anything that has, you know, killed him. He hasn't stepped in doo-doo, if you will. Oh. You know, if you will. I mean, he's been okay. I mean, he's been fine. But again, I could just imagine what it would be like to speak to him away from the microphone. Speaking to him away from the microphone, you'd get a completely different set of opinions about what they're dealing with. But the public face is a completely different set of circumstances that I think he's handled relatively well. So he's not going to talk himself out of a job.
No, he's too smart for that. He knows what he needs to do publicly. He's never, in his 3 years that he's been here, said something that has made a story bigger than it needed to be, which is something that plagued Rob Saleh, it plagued Joe Judge, it's plagued lots of coaches who have gotten fired. That's one thing Brian Daboll is not going to do. And, you know, as I mentioned before, the biggest problem for this Giants regime is whiffing on these draft picks at the top of the draft, and there's just three massive ones that would scare me. The thing that scares me more than anything isn't even what happens the rest of this season, because they're not going to win. They shouldn't win. They've got to get to the top of the draft to get their quarterback, because there's two ways that you can change a franchise. One is the head coach, the alpha male dude head coach who walks in there, changes the culture, and then follows that up with building a roster, or two, getting the star quarterback. So that's what they're hoping for now, is getting the star quarterback. But the thing that would scare me going forward is, did these guys know how to pick players in the draft? That would be the biggest one. I mean, yeah, you hit on a couple guys. You know, Tyrone Tracy's a nice story after you let Saquon go, but no one's really talking about that because Saquon left. I mean,
nobody's talking about any of that because the team stinks.
Exactly. Your two best players are out, and your two best players weren't even drafted by this regime. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal and Deontay Banks. I mean, these guys they've missed. So that's the thing, the biggest thing if I'm John Mara. If I'm making a change, it's because I don't believe these guys know how to pick the right players. But then again, as we said, we went back and the world loved the Giants drafts when they picked those guys. Oh, A and A+, and they couldn't do any better than this, and ended up being all flops. But, I mean, John Mara, after Bill Belichick ended up going to North Carolina, you would have to either have, you know, Ben Johnson or, I mean, I don't even know if he would go to Vrabel. I think he'd be like enamored. You would have to have the top candidate and Ben Johnson say, hey, I want the Giants. And that's not going to happen. I don't see John Mara getting rid of these two guys and then replacing them with two guys that are the same exact people as Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, just with no experience.
Well, you know, when you have a planes flying over MetLife Stadium saying, fire everybody, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, but
I'm just telling you, and it happens, you know, it affects season tickets, it affects the attendance at the stadiums, it affects the business side in terms of sponsorships. I mean, there are a lot of things that right now the Giants are going through, and this is why I'm saying you got to see how this whole thing ends. And I'm not saying that a win would have made everybody feel better today. Like, the Jets may feel a little bit better today about what happened yesterday. So they won a game. You know, they went out there and they played their best game offensively. And I was thinking towards the end of that game that had the Jets lost that game, I couldn't even imagine how many people would have been blaming Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with losing that game. Aaron Rodgers had everything to do with winning the game.
Yeah, those players on defense are the biggest losers I've ever seen. I cannot believe that they gave up the amount of yardage and first downs that they did to Mac Jones in that offense. I mean, it was startling. I mean, I think they had something, like, I looked down at it when I was watching the game, I think they had something like 16 first downs in the first half, which I don't think that they had done in the previous two games. The offense looked good. But look at Jaguars here. Yeah, 27 first downs and 421 yards of offense. And if you know anything about football, you know that the Jaguars have had one of the worst offenses in the league the entire year. And it's gotten worse since Mac Jones has been the quarterback.
Well, look at their third down efficiency, you know, over 50%. Which
it's
is amazing.
So bad.
And, you know, and then it really came down to Mac Jones turning into Mac Jones.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a couple turnovers, and that ended up being a big deal. And the offense looked good, and Davante Adams looked good. And that stuff you can't deny. But, I mean, it's the Jets fan who was hanging on to any sort of hope and then saw this yesterday. And it's like, oh, you know, this is why, you know, you want to, you think about running it back next year. Okay. So, you know, in the 2 years, and the other argument that I love that people make is like, well, now Aaron Rodgers is fully healthy. Oh, okay. So he's fully healthy when they're 4-10. And the majority of the time he's been here, he's been hurt. And he's 41 years old. But let's bring him back and hope that he's healthy next year.
I'll tell you, the last two games he played in Florida in warm weather, he looked great.
Yeah, well, too bad that's not what we have up here for the majority of the time. And you also have to go to Buffalo. And yes, you get a chance to go to Miami. But, I mean, that's one game out of the year. I mean, just to think that, oh, this is what Aaron Rodgers looks like when he's healthy. Well, guess what? He can't stay healthy. And to assume that he's going to stay healthy next year is stupid. And you're not going to compete, even if he is healthy. You're not competing with the best teams in the AFC.
I know, but it all depends on who the coach is next year for the Jets as to whether or not he's going to end up staying here.
Yeah.
I that's all I'm saying. If it's a big personality head coach, he's going to want a guy that he can win with, and then they try to draft the guy. Maybe they develop a guy. I mean, the other options are relatively not exciting
for the quarterback position, but I really don't think you got to look at it like apples to apples in that situation. I think the choice is, do we bring Aaron Rodgers back to try to make the playoffs and have a decent season, or do we start our massive rebuild that we're going to have to do after next season anyway right now? Do we get started with that right now as opposed to delaying it another year, dealing with all of his drama, probably another injury? I mean, I mean that's really the question. Not so much who is the quarterback better than Aaron Rodgers going to play next year. No, that right there, it's going to be hard to answer that question. You're right. But the better question is, why not get the rebuild started now as opposed to basically sticking around and watching this Jets team go to another, at the very best, like 9-8 record next year and not get anywhere near the best teams in the conference like the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and so on, because you're just not going to be able to compete with them.
You know, for me, the thing that I look at is that here we are late in the season, and he's thrown the best he's thrown since he's gotten here, because we didn't see him in the first year, of course. But this year, I mean, these passes, some of these throws that he's making, I mean, they're as good as anybody in the NFL, if not the best in the NFL.
Right, but this is what, see, you're falling for the same thing these guys fall for. When he's been healthy, which is what now? This is the healthiest been.
Yeah,
it's been two games out of the how many that he possibly could have played.
Both he and Kirk Cousins are coming off of, Achilles. It's not easy. Look, I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, he should be here for the next 10 years. I'm just telling you that if they do hire a a known coach, a known personality.
They won't.
That guy is not going to want to go into a game with Jameis Winston. He's not going to want to go into a game with Derek Carr. He's not going to want to go into a game with, you know, Sam Darnold. He's not going to want to go into a game with any of those guys.
And I'll maybe, tell you, Sam Darnold's played 50 million times better than Aaron Rodgers has in any game out of the season. So and he's, what, 14 years younger than him?
Yeah, but the reason they're not going to bring Sam Darnold back here.
Well, yeah,
what
but,
I'm saying.
But if you're just comparing those two quarterbacks, like...
Yeah, but they're not going to bring Sam back here. So, like, what are the alternatives? And they're certainly not in range for one of these top two quarterbacks, and hopefully one of these top two quarterbacks, I guess if they're drafted by the Giants and it's another new coach and another new system, you know, they're going to, you know, is that guy going to play right out of the gate? I would hope not, but who knows with the pressure around here and the expectations of the fan base, who knows? I mean, yeah. It's crazy. With this Bill Belichick signing it at North Carolina now, it kind of just makes you, like, who would be the guys to come in and run the Giants?
To run the Giants, I mean, I think it's going to be Dable and Chain. That's why I keep saying that. I don't think that John Mara is going to be enticed by anybody outside of Ben Johnson to come in and do it. I mean, I think, you know, there's certain guys that I could see, you know, Woody Johnson, you know, bringing in Aaron Glenn, or maybe Woody Johnson going with the combination of John Robinson and Vrabel, which you could do worse than that, even though John Robinson made one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL. Or at least in the last decade of the NFL when he traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles. But, you know, I could see that happen. For the Giants, I think it. This is why I think it's these two guys. And I don't think it even matters how the rest of it looks like. I think the way they look at it is we're going to give these guys an opportunity to work with the quarterback that they draft either one or two at the top of the draft because there's nobody else out there that we're going to bring in that we feel better about than these guys. I mean, and I know that sounds crazy to a lot of Giants fans, but... I mean, are you just going to now bring in two new guys? I mean, is there the experienced coach? He's not like John Mara won't go down the John Gruden route. He's not going to do that. Now, who else is there that you want to bring in?
Yeah,
Spags? You going to bring in Spags? Well, who's his offensive coordinator? I mean, is his offensive coordinator the guy from Miami? Who was Cam Ward's or is Cam Ward's offensive coordinator? All right, you know, maybe that's something they could do. But the more I think about it, the more I think that they're just going to keep those guys. And then I cannot wait to see who the Jets hire. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be so funny because they're just going to do the same thing again. And then those guys will just, I'll just, when we see him at training camp, we'll be like, you know, we're going to talk for 3 years that fourth year. You're not going to be here.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry. And it's not your fault.
Right.
It's not your fault. Everybody who comes in here, it's the same thing. So don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why you have to offer, you know, your recommendations.
I've been screaming about John Gruden a million times, but they won't do it. Woody Johnson won't do it. And I don't know what the hell happened with this Bill Belichick story. I need to know more. And I saw the Athletic people and Diana Rossini put it out, and then Connor Hughes had confirmed the story. I mean, I don't know if this is one of those things where they're like, hey, reach out to all the teams that have already fired their coach, but I haven't heard that yet, just to see if there's interest and maybe we could, you know, get more money out of this situation or more things that we want in the contract or whatever. But I can't imagine everything that Bill Belichick said about Woody Johnson and how much he hates the Jets, and he's put that out there publicly, that he'd actually be willing to coach the Jets. I will not believe that.
Well, it just goes to show you just how badly Bill Belichick won him back in the NFL.
Well, not according to him, remember? He's like, oh, you know, Bill Belichick soured on the NFL and all that bullcrap because nobody wanted him.
Well, that's why he soured on the NFL because nobody wanted
him. Exactly.
Well, what happened first?
Yeah.
So right. I could see his representatives asking around, seeing if anybody had any interest. But then again, North Carolina was on a very, very tight timeline. And they had to get their guy in there. And in order, you know, to actually get ready for this upcoming season in 2025 with the transfer portal open and the recruiting going on, and I think he already landed a 5-star QB going to North Carolina, so which is a good thing.
Of course. Get it going. You know he's probably going to have some success there early, you would expect, with his track record, so we'll see how it pans out. All right, Boomer and Geo.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance,
the 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy, or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Big NFL day yesterday. We've got Jerry Recco in here with an update. What's going on, Jerry?
Oh, good morning to you. How are you? Everything good?
I'm doing great, Jerry. You know, it was raining today, but I saw it was going to be close to 60 degrees tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time to kill, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to find the perfect place or people to play golf with. I know that I reached out to you. I figured too cold for Boomer. Generally too cold, but it might be 60 degrees tomorrow. I haven't asked you yet, but we could talk about it. But yes. I didn't throw it out to Jerry because Jerry plays in all conditions.
Jerry had
a previous commitment. So
the only day this week I couldn't do was Tuesday.
And I know one of our favorite courses down in Jersey is closed. I did look into that already.
Yeah, December's tough.
Yeah, it is. It is tough.
Anyhow.
Goose poop around and everything else. So what do we got in sports?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. We'll zip through the Jets and the Giants, get to some of the good NFL stuff. We'll start with the good. That would be the Jets beating the Jaguars.
Rodgers back to throw. Well protected. Fires one up the seam through Adams. He's got him in stride at the 30, at the 20, 10, 5, spins, end zone, touchdown, that's a Jet touchdown. Devontae Adams streaks down the middle, and Aaron Rodgers puts it right in his hands, and the Jets have the lead. 3:24 to go.
That was Bob with Shoes and Q104.3 Jets Radio, 71 yards for the touchdown. How about the day Adams had? No yards in the first half. None. And then 9 catches for a 198, 2 touchdowns in the second. The Jets win 32-25. Breece Hall, the go-ahead touchdown with 1:05 left. Here was Rodgers post-game. Must have felt like old times, you and Devontae.
Yeah, dude. Except you dropped one. And I missed him on the next play. Or the next big third down. But yeah, Tay's fantastic player.
Fourth win of the season. Here was Devontae. Nice to actually get in the win column again.
Felt great. We've been in it multiple times, and it's never been for a lack of effort, but to be able to execute and make the plays when they matter, a couple of tough third downs and figuring out whether they busted coverage or whatever, figuring it out and finishing off with a good rushing touchdown.
And that one catch he had along the sideline
was crazy.
Sort of amazing.
And that was, because I could be wrong about this, wasn't this after they had to waste another timeout?
Yes.
And it was 3rd and 5?
Yeah.
They probably would have, yeah. So that was a heck of a catch. Rodgers, 289 through the air, 3 touchdowns, even ran for 45. Sauce Gardner had the game-clinching interception. He was on SNY.
Threw it right to me, man. Threw it right to me. It's crazy. This whole week I was saying I felt like I was going to get 2. Obviously, I didn't get 2. I could have just been like, man, I ain't get no picks. But, like, but to be that play, like, at the end of the game, it's crazy.
And so the Jets now 4-10. They take on the Rams Sunday at 1 p.m. Meantime, the Giants were home to the Ravens. And boy, oh boy, Lamar Jackson put on a show. 21 of 25, 290 yards, 5 touchdowns. He ran for 65 yards. Here was Brian Daboll. Yeah, he is something else.
He's difficult to defend every week. I mean, against any team he plays. He's a dynamic player. He's the reason why he's a 2-time MVP. And, he's really good.
And here was Mark Andrews on Ravens YouTube TV talking about Lamar Jackson.
He's just so good. Even the touchdown throw that he threw, to me, he kind of just led me right into it. It was almost like a shock. But he's just seeing the game incredibly well. And it's such a blessing to be able to play with the MVP and the best to ever do it.
I know that Josh Allen is having a great season as well. But, I mean, Lamar right now has got 34 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions.
That's pretty good.
And then he's going to be rushing for over probably 750 yards on top of that. I mean, everybody, I was listening to Tony and Jim yesterday. Oh, this guy's the MVP in regards to Josh Allen. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, time out. Did you see what Lamar Jackson did yesterday?
Yeah, he's been great. And if he won it again, I wouldn't be screaming about it. I just feel like Josh Allen is that entire team at this point. It's just,
dude, he's got 743 yards rushing already, so he'll be well over 800 yards, maybe 900 yards. And this is where he won it last year, if you remember. They beat the Dolphins straight up, and Tua Tagovailoa was in the MVP race, and then they went out to San Francisco, and they beat Brock Purdy and the 49ers pretty handedly. And that's where he won the MVP, was really in the last month of the season. I'm just telling you that. I know Josh has played great. I don't want to take anything away from him, man, but I'm telling you, numbers-wise, Lamar Jackson is having a season for the ages.
Baltimore at Buffalo, AFC Championship game.
That'd be fun.
Depending on what happens with Patrick Mahomes and his ankle.
Two quarterbacks that put up a ton of points and 2 defenses that don't stop anybody.
That is true.
Except the Giants. Ravens stopped the Giants.
And by the way, the Lions yesterday, man, they lost 3 more defensive starters for the rest of the season.
it's been a problem. So we can get to that in Detroit.
Allen in the shotgun. Receiver to each side. Here's the snap on 2nd and goal. And it's an Allen keeper. And he sails into the end zone. On a 4-yard touchdown run. Oh, my, was that easy.
And that was Bills Radio, made it 14-0 in the first
quarter. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, very easy. Just exactly the way he announced it. There was nobody there.
Al Dukes could have
scored there. Yeah.
You know, the best play of the game was called back. the chest pass touchdown.
Yes.
You guys,
yes.
Where he basically escapes from the rush, Josh Allen. Then he's got another guy coming up to his face, and he jumps and passes the football as a chest pass, like in basketball, to whoever it was. It was Dalton Kincaid, I think, actually. They called it back as a holding. But I was like, I mean, this guy's starting to do that type of stuff now, like the Mahomes crazy stuff.
Well, listen to these numbers. 362, two touchdowns, 68 yards rushing, two more touchdowns. Not too shabby. Here was Allen postgame.
I think, again, the mindset that we had this week was win every play. Whatever the play was, you know, find a way to execute at the highest level. And we were just focused on the next one. And guys made some really good plays tonight.
It did seem at times that they seemed to be unstoppable. Here was Dan Campbell, not happy with himself for all that.
You know, and ultimately, you know, it's like I told the team, man, I didn't have those guys ready to go. Not like that. You know, not when you're playing a team like that. And, you know, and that's with me, man.
Now,
a lot of injuries, man. I mean, they got just so many injuries on defense. I mean, they're a shell of who they are. I mean, they'll score 40 points every game, but they're going to end up losing every game because their defense can't stop anybody.
Jared Goff, in the losses, they were basically chasing the entire game. 494, five touchdowns, not good enough. So they are now 12-2, which opens the door for your Vikings.
It does. Well, and the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
But for the Vikings to win the division, they've got the Seahawks coming up, then the Packers, then the Lions, and the Seahawks may be without Geno Smith here. So, yeah, they're gonna have an opportunity there, but they got to win tonight against the Bears. Can't drop a bad one at home on Monday Night Football.
And the Bills now 11-3 with the win. As for those Eagles, they are 12-2. So much for the Hurts AJ Brown issue. It was no issue yesterday.
Hurts in the gun, Barkley to his left, AJ Brown out to the far side by his lonesome. Hurts this time backs up, looks, fires complete. AJ Brown in the back. The end zone.
Mm-hmm. And that was part of a 27-13 win for Philadelphia.
As like they look like the best team in the league right now. Overall.
Philly?
Yeah, they do.
I suppose.
I mean, they have defense.
I mean, Pittsburgh did nothing on offense yesterday.
That's right.
And no Pickens again, too, which
they
really
can, they can throw the ball and they can run the ball. I mean, like, the most balanced team, let's put it that way. That's what it seems like to me. Even better than Kansas City, better than Detroit right now. You know, maybe Minnesota's right there with them, you know, in terms of balance, where you have a quality defense and you can run the ball and you can throw the ball and you have a quarterback that moves around and makes extra plays.
Here's Nick Sirianni. How about Hurts today?
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I thought Jalen did a great job of taking what the defense gave him. You know, getting a ball to our, you know, a 200-yard receivers. I always think that's cool when that happens.
Yeah, his number's pretty good. 290, two touchdowns. He ran for 45 yards.
Did you see
the
argument between Nick Sirianni, not the argument, but Nick Sirianni going after Jalen Carter?
I actually missed that part of it.
Yeah, so he head slapped a Pittsburgh Steeler. I mean, it was blatant. I mean, just absolutely blatant. And, you know, Carter's not, you know, he had issues coming into the league.
Mm-hmm.
They knew when they drafted him that there were potential issues, and he snapped yesterday in the middle of this game. And Sirianni was ticked, and I think it was the defensive line coach got in between them. I mean, so that's a weird. They're a weird team.
Well, yeah. I mean, it also, you know, of course, with the AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts situation. Now you got the coach and another player getting into it. You know, Saquon was out for the entire second quarter in this game and basically did nothing. He was dealing with, they thought it was going to be a concussion situation, but he was dealing with some sort of hip thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody's fragile, man.
Right. I kind of moved on from the Giants. Tommy DeVito didn't play the second half because of a concussion. Tim Boyle did play the second half of that game. Sunday Night Football, Packers and Seahawks. We talked about this with Seattle losing Geno Smith along the way. They also lost the game.
Takes the snap. He's back to pass. Love has time. Bouncing in the pocket. Lofts it deep down the middle of the field for the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Green Bay. Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, heck of a catch. That was Westwood One with the call. 30-13, Green Bay beating Seattle. And Geno Smith did suffer the knee injury. Here's Matt LaFleur. It's a good win. We're 10-4, but still lots of work to do.
Back in wins and try to take it one day at a time, one game at a time.
And that was the touchdown I played. I mean, that's a ridiculous catch, as he basically grabbed it right before it hit the ground. Seattle falls to 8-6 with the loss. Monday Night Football, you mentioned the Vikings and the Bears. We got two games tonight. The Falcons also play the Raiders later this evening.
Should be rooting for the Raiders if you're a Giant fan.
That's right. Absolutely. They get a win.
Yeah.
Helps you out with the draft.
Now, they could win tonight. Atlanta's no,
They're not great.
Nope. Knicks magic on a Sunday night. All these games up against the NFL. You realize they're playing. But yes, they did play, and they played quite well.
Brunson creates a space, and he's short. Good job by Towns to rebound it in.
Yeah, I would say so. That was Bill Pito. Good job by Towns. Karl Anthony Towns, 22 points, 22 rebounds. The Knicks won 100-91. Jalen Brunson did have 31, talking about a good fourth quarter his team played.
I'm going out there and just playing, and whatever the emotion is needed, it is what it is at that point. Nothing's really like predetermined or anything like that, and that's just how I felt in that moment.
And so with the win, the Knicks go to 16-10 on the season, 17 for Mikal Bridges. One other note from the NBA, the Mavericks beat the Warriors 143-133. There were a combined 48 threes made in this game. Listen to these numbers. Dallas was 21 of 41, and Golden State was 27 of 54 from three-point range.
When there was a game over the weekend, the Bulls and the Hornets, I think, where they missed a combined, I want to say, like 81 threes.
Oh, that's just awful.
They missed the combined.
I believe it. When it's ugly, it's ugly.
Yeah, you know. So here, I mean, the story of the year right now in the NBA is that the greatest player of his generation has decided to leave.
Well,
his
he
team.
Was back yesterday.
Oh, he was back?
Yes, he was back. Okay. Apparently dealing with a foot injury.
Not personal problems.
I don't believe so. I don't know that.
Did he play yesterday?
Yeah, played well. Yeah, and they won. By the way, Luka Doncic, how about this line? 45, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. Not too bad. Nets home for the Cavaliers tonight. We have time, so I mean, I got to.
No,
sorry.
I mean.
And that's Sam Rosen on MSG. The Blues up 3-0 at that point. Rangers would get a couple back, but ultimately fall 3-2. Robert Thomas' second period goal there. The difference, that is 10 losses in their last 13 games.
Man, I have never seen a team at one that was really one of the best teams in the league at one point within the last year be infected by something that they are infected by, and it's permeating throughout the lineup.
I don't care.
Oh, shut up. It could be their world-class goalie. It could be their number one winger. It could be their starting center. I mean, it's amazing. And there's a couple guys that, you know, are playing hard every night, but there is no passion. There is no grit. Last night was a little bit better than Saturday against the Kings.
They were awful.
Steamrolled.
Was that 5-1?
Yeah, and it was like the Sabres 3 or 4 weeks ago at home when they got beat 6-1. Mm. I mean, and they're on their home ice. They are about as embarrassing as it gets. I mean, I feel like a Giant fan, actually. Watching this team that won the President's Trophy last year, and it's like everybody thinks that, you know, trade this guy, get rid of this guy, fire the coach. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it is an absolute mess right now, and the general manager, Chris Drury, you know, has never been a general manager before, has created a firestorm in that locker room. And I have no idea how they're going to turn it. I really don't.
And the Blackhawks got a goal in the final minute of regulation, beat the Islanders 5-3.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Here's a little something for you. The Chiefs and Lions are 0-2 versus the Bills this year.
Oh.
So the Bills are basically taking care of those two teams. But those two teams, the Lions and Chiefs, are 25-1 versus everyone else this season.
Interesting. All right, so the Buffalo Bills, who are now, I believe, the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I think that has changed because of their win over the Lions yesterday. Not that any of that really matters, because that could change week to week.
Jared Goff is the first quarterback in NFL history to lose a game with 400 and or more pass yards, 5 TD passes, and no interceptions.
Ah, it's too bad for him, huh?
Sounds like what Josh Allen did last week against the Rams and lost.
Too bad for him. All right, so yeah, the Bills are now plus 420 to win the Super Bowl. The Lions plus 450. The Eagles after that plus 500. So interesting there.
You know, yesterday in the Lions-Bills game, Dan Campbell elected to alert the Bills that they were going to go for an onside kick.
Well, they have to, right?
Yeah. At 12 minutes. Now, normally you would say that's way too early. And, you know, Tony's trying to explain all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think when you look at what Dan Campbell's thinking, he's thinking, I can't put my defense on the field because I can't stop Josh Allen. It's kind of like what Belichick did versus Peyton Manning when he was coaching against Peyton Manning in Indianapolis when he went for it on 4th and 5 or something on his side of the 50 in a point in the game where you would think that you would punt the ball. But Belichick, after the game, told the media, he goes, hey, were you watching the same game that I was? There was no way I could stop Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, it was unconventional. I think they lose either way, whether they kick off or they try the onside kick. It wasn't even just the onside kick. There was a big return on the onside kick. They score right away. I mean, the Lions didn't have much of a chance yesterday on defense.
They almost got the second onside kick, though.
Yeah, right.
And then, and then the discussion about the timeouts. I mean, like, you got to save time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to have 2 timeouts, but not with 12 seconds to go.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to use your timeouts.
Well, another exciting game for the Buffalo Bills. They've been one of the more exciting teams in the NFL, and they seem to be on the winning side of most of them. So we'll see if that continues, and they could finally slay the dragon of the AFC and, of course, the Super Bowl for their fan base. Let's go to Tyrone in Newark. What's going on, Tyrone?
Hey, man, Boomer.
Yeah.
Hey, Boomer.
Yeah.
You got to stop that, bro. Every week, man. You try to put Aaron Rodgers back with the Jets. He's no good, man. He's a professional. He's going to have 1 or 2 good games out of 18. So don't do that, man. Look, man, the team needs to start over. Let's stop this nonsense.
Do you have an alternative for next year's head coach and quarterback combination?
I wouldn't care if it's 2 new guys you never heard of. They'd be better than that. Don't even try that. I wouldn't care who it is. Hey, you know what? Let me just get this off for you real quick, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Boomer, Dak Prescott, you got a whole lot of these other quarterbacks, Boomer, that nobody knew anything about. And listen, they came up. They starting for teams now. Listen, you got to just forget all of that stuff and go get a quarterback, give him the time he needs, and start from there. You got to get a new coach. Look, you do not want to put a new quarterback near Aaron Rodgers. Let's stop it right now. Let him go. He's going to sabotage it. There's no way he's going to let that happen.
Yeah,
he's not going to do it right.
Yeah, Tyrone, and I tend to agree with you. It's not even so much the question of, like, all right, I've got the best replacement. It's more the conversation of this Aaron Rodgers thing didn't work. The head coach is gone. The GM is gone. He's another year older. He spent the majority of his time here injured. And if you think he's going to have this miraculous year next year where he somehow stays healthy, it's not going to happen. The defense that was much ballyhooed stinks. It's like, let's just complete rubble. Complete rubble. See Aaron. Do what you got to do. Maybe catch on with another team. That's really the philosophy, because you're right. There isn't a great answer of what's the alternative. But him coming back, you're not going to compete next year. Like, what? Why would he come back next year? Just so you could be, like, okay as a team? Because if he's coming back next year, you have no chance to compete with these other teams unless every other quarterback in the league gets hurt.
All I'm saying is that the only way I believe he would come back, and if they wanted him back, would be if the coach is of substance, of some sort of, you know, big personality that would have to be, that could handle that and sit him down and say, this is the way we're doing things. And Aaron would then, of course, have to buy into that. But, you know, I since Aaron's gotten here, and I've said this, and people could take it for what they want. I don't really care, but he's such a big personality that, like, the air has been sucked out of that locker room. And what I meant by that is that so many people were deferring to his greatness on the field that they forgot that they had to take care of their own business, including the defense, and the defense probably the biggest culprit of all.
Sure.
But everybody was expecting miracles from a 40-year-old quarterback, much like what Tom Brady did for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a completely different set of circumstances, but I would just say that if it is a personality that is a known head coach in this league, or who has been a known head coach in this league, He is going to want to win with a quarterback that he believes he can win with.
Well, who is that going to be?
John? I don't know.
But what I'm saying, though, but like when you say, all right, what's the alternative for the quarterback, and no one's got an answer, it's frustrating. Who is the quarterback? Who is the head coach is going to want Aaron Rodgers, who is an established guy? I mean,
I would say if you brought in like a John Gruden or a you know, Mike Vrabel, somebody along those lines, I could see that. I could see that working for a year. I could definitely see that. But if it's not somebody like that, or somebody tied to Aaron Rodgers in some other way, then I don't see it happening. But I do know this. If you have a coach that comes in here, and like, let's say it's Aaron Glenn, good former Jet, former teammate of mine, he deserves a shot at being a head coach. Who is his offensive coordinator, and who is he bringing in as a quarterback?
I would just, if you have Aaron Glenn's phone number, please give it to me so I could tell him to look elsewhere, because his career is going to go off the rails if he comes here. And he's known as a guy who, you know, Jet fans have a positive memory of Aaron Glenn.
Sure.
You don't want to change that. You just don't. Just leave it alone. Don't take that job. Don't do it.
But I'm all right. So I'm asking you the question, and I'm asking the fans the question. If Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman say to Woody Johnson, this guy would be great because he's got Jet heritage. You drafted him in the first round. He was a great player for you. And he's ascended to being one of the top defensive coordinators, despite all the injuries that they're dealing with. And he's dealing with a million injuries. It's impossible. I mean, he's going to get a lot of interviews. I'm just telling you.
Oh, sure he will, yeah. But, I mean, right now, the stock is going down for sure, and it's not all his fault. But, you know, these teams, you know, the Lions are playing big-time games every single week for a lot of eyeballs.
His stock is going down, then Steve Spagnuolo's stock is going up.
Sure, indeed. I agree.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Stink Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.